into this. Our Father and King, we thank you so much for the blessings of approaching you, our eternal and changing Father, in prayer, in worship, in song, and praise. We thank you for accepting us into your presence. And Lord, I pray you give us a heart to fellowship with you. That's as devoted as your desire to fellowship with us. And just make us more the people you want us to be. And though this is an unusual time of teaching, and I pray, Father, you'd make this time a blessing to our heart. And you'd make us here at Beth Dakoon more aware of other people who consider themselves part of us, people that most of us have never met. So, Lord, I pray you'd give us a heart of love for our brothers and sisters who are part of this congregation, who live on the other side of the world in a different hemisphere. Bless them richly as they meet today, and as they pray, and as they listen to teachings, and as they fellowship together. And so, Lord, we commit this time to you and ask you to protect us from confusion and distraction and error, and bless our children and their teachers as well this morning. We ask in Yeshua's name, amen. Well, if I said it was good to be home, I would be exaggerating a bit because of the weather. And people who are listening on the podcast and the CDs, just to let you know, Robin and I spent the last 3 weeks in South Africa where the temperatures were in the mid-80s, the humidity was very low, it was sunny every day. And then today, April 9th, in Northeast Ohio, we've got several inches of snow outside. So other than that, it's really good to be back. At first, I was just going to share a few remarks about our trip to South Africa, then go right into our teaching of Colossians. But last Tuesday night, we had an elders meeting, and I shared the video, just about the same video as you're going to be seeing. And I shared it with the elders, and they insisted I share the whole thing with you. And I must obey my superiors, so that's what we're going to do. But let me give you a little introduction, and here's why over the days since Tuesday night, I've come to see the wisdom of our elders in doing this. You know, we meet here each week at Beth Dakoon, and, you know, between 100 and 200 of us, I guess, on most Shabbats. But there are groups around the world who also meet with us every week, and they're very aware of you. And yet you may not be at all aware of them. And these people from all over the world, they'll email me and they'll say, "How's your father-in-law doing? How's Jim doing?" Because this time last year when I was in South Africa, Jim was going through some health issues and Robin had sent me a text or an email. I got it and they immediately began to pray for Jim. And Jim's health turned around. It was a real answer to prayer. And they're always asking about Jim. And they always want to know about Adam and Tony and Jim. And people ask questions. They know you by name. And it was a really surreal experience to be in the heart of South Africa 2 weeks ago when we were celebrating Shabbat. And there are about 25 of us gathered together on the farm that belongs to this lovely couple on the screen. And so we all stand to pray, and guess whose voice we hear? Tim Pell. You know, I'd sent them a CD. I don't know if Tim Pell knew I recorded or not, but I sent them a CD so they could kind of see how we do our prayer service and learn the melodies to the songs. I had no idea they'd be playing it every week and praying along with Tim. And we've got to make a new one because it happened to be the Yom Kippur service you did. They do Yom Kippur every week in South Africa. So let me introduce you to some of the people who consider themselves part of Beth Dakoon. And I have to let you know, that I don't often share this because I don't know why. But we have groups in Australia, New Zealand, West Indies, Philippines, Guam, England, China, South Africa, Kenya, and those are the ones that come to mind, who listen to the teachings each week. They listen to the questions you ask. They listen to our discussions, and they consider this to be their congregation. So when you gather together, and people ask me sometimes, how many people are part of Beth Dacoon? I have no idea. Thousands. And I guess while we were in South Africa, I'm thinking I probably talked to about 500 people when we taught there. Between Robin and I think we did about 16 hours of teaching. And that was not including the many conversations we had about the Word and little Q&A sessions we had, and just constantly people want to talk about Torah and talk about Messiah. And the people that are in South Africa are just on fire. And with all the emails I get from outside the country, I'd say for every foreign email I get, I get two from South Africa. Something is really, really happening there. So let me get into this. The couple you see on the screen, this is Niels and Sandra Verster, but that is actually Verster in Afrikaans, Verster, and they live in Velkom. It looks like Welcome, but it's actually Velkom, which is just up in the northeastern part, I guess you'd say, of South Africa. And they are the ones who sponsored my trip last year and Robin and my trip this year. They are hosts, they organize it, and they set up all the venues around the country. And a wonderful couple. Niels is a physician, and they have four grown sons. Two are married, and they have, I think, two grandchildren this time. And they're expecting twins next month. Their oldest son and his wife are expecting twins next month. And a wonderful couple. And they also have a daughter whose name is Samay. You'll see pictures of her later. And she's in college. So let me, I wanted to introduce you to them first, because without them, this would not be happening. So let me just give you some information about South Africa and try and make this as unboring as possible. First of all, when you mention South Africa, people just think of the continent of Africa, and South Africa is the south part of the continent. There are 54 countries in Africa. South Africa is its own country. So when we talk about the Republic of South Africa, it's a country out of the 54. And it's pretty big. It's bigger than Texas. In fact, you could take the state of Ohio and fit it into South Africa about 10 and a half times. And even though it's 10 and a half times bigger than Ohio, it only has about five times the population of Ohio. So it's there's a lot of empty territory, open territory around here. It's in the southern hemisphere, so their summer is our winter, and our summer is their winter. They're going into their winter now. And they were talking about how cool it was, but it was just gorgeous during the day, upper 80s, dry. But it got chilly at night. You had to put a jacket on at night. And the blue lines you see up here are the, that's where we flew to. And it's a 16-hour flight from Atlanta, Georgia, to Johannesburg, and you can see Johannesburg right up in there. But for us, it was a 19-hour flight because we spent 3 hours sitting on the runway, all because of some little circuit board. And then the paperwork about the circuit board, and the guy who needed to sign the paperwork for the little circuit board, 3 hours. But anyways, we were almost insane. By the time we landed, of course, we missed our connecting flight from Johannesburg down here to Cape Town. But bless her heart, Sandra was there, and she was there when we got off the plane, and she booked a hotel room right there at the airport. Beautiful room, and it was so good to get horizontal for a few hours. And she was back again 5 a.m. to get us on a flight to Cape Town so we can continue our journey. Cape Town down here is the number three tourist destination in the world. Number three, right behind Paris, France, and Mogador, Ohio, right there. That's it. And in Cape Town, our hosts were Christo and Leone Verster. So let me give you a picture of them. There's Christo and Leone. And Christo is a professional tour guide, and he's a great guy to know. And Cape Town is absolutely a gorgeous place. You're going to see pictures of this in the order which I'm describing them. And Cape Town has one of the seven natural wonders of the world. It's called Table Mountain. Just incredible, incredible mountain, just flat. You could put a ruler across the top of it. And usually the top is all in the clouds. It's enormous. It's hard to picture just how big it is at a distance. But it's right there near the Cape of Good Hope. This is all a national park. Excuse me. I brought a souvenir back from South Africa. It's called a cold. And, you know, I bet it's been 15, 16 years since I've had a cold. I had to go to South Africa to find one. To find one I hadn't had yet. And this is wine country. There are over 125 vineyards in this area of the southwestern Cape. So I spent three evenings. I taught Hebrew to a group of about 50 people. I took them through our crash Hebrew course where they learn how to read Hebrew and pronounce the words. It was a great fun, wonderful people. And then we flew just a real short jaunt over to George. This is called the Garden Route, and George is called the Eden of South Africa. The rest of the country can be in drought, but George is always green. And you can be in George, look one way, you see the ocean, the Indian Ocean, look the other way, it's all these green, beautiful mountains. It's just a tropical, beautiful paradise. You know, people in Ohio, they retire to Florida. People in South Africa retire to George. And while we were in George, we were hosted by another doctor and his family. This is Rickard Fowl, or Fall, that's how I pronounce it, Rickard Fowl. They live in George, and you can see his wife, Magda, and this is his daughter, Anita, and son, Heinrich. Great kids. We had a wonderful time with them. And they know all of you very well. They know the names of the people here and are always asking about you. So we spent Shabbat with them. And you know, in South Africa, they don't have mosquitoes. We had Erev Shabbat sitting outside, and there are no mosquitoes. A few moths, they just don't have mosquitoes. They don't even put screens on the windows. You might see a stray mosquito here and there, but they're these little midget mosquitoes, not like the birds we have. And so a beautiful evening, and the stars, constellations are so different. You can see the Southern Cross each night. And so we spent Erev Shabbat with them. The next morning, we taught at a place. There are three Messianic groups. They broke off as they got bigger, but they all came together while we were there. So we talked there, I think, for about 3 hours, three sessions, about an hour each. And then Niels and Sandra met us there, and they drove us, took 2 days to drive across here. And this is called the Great Karoo. This whole middle area here, the Karoo is like a semi-desert. It's very dry. They get practically no rainfall. And I don't think people there have ever seen a cloud. And in fact, the Karoo was a barrier to the early explorers ever going into the interior. They couldn't get across the Great Karoo. But it turns out there's plenty of water. You have to drill these boreholes, and there's plenty of water down in the ground. And so as you drive through, you see windmills everywhere, these little windmills that aren't too huge, but they're these steel windmills everywhere. And the windmill is kind of the icon, the symbol for South Africa. And as you drive through there, you see a lot of sheep and then wildlife, a lot of wild ostriches and these little springbok things. And it looks very much like the American Southwest. You see some cactus, but not the big cactus like we have. And we spent the night right here at a game lodge. It's beautiful. It's over 100 years old. And you'll see pictures of the picture I sent of Robin standing out there just kind of basking in the open spaces. That was taken right there at that place. And we drove on up to their home in Welkom. And Niels and Sandra own a farm in Bethlehem, which is about a two-hour drive from their home. And they go there every other weekend. And so we got to spend about 4 or 5 days there. It's the most beautiful setting for a farm I have ever seen. Sandra grew up at the farm next door where her sister and brother-in-law live. They have 3 sons and a daughter. And you have to learn an Afrikaans word. The word is braai. Braai. We call it grilling here, but a braai in South Africa makes our grilling look pretty pathetic here in Ohio. And the 3 sons are all home for the school holiday, and these boys know how to braai big time. And so they take these big metal mesh screen things. They build a fire with corn cobs, and it just glows red hot. Then they put lamb ribs, lamb chops and steaks, and chicken and lamb sausages. And they'll make a couple of these big fires, and they close this thing down. They just stick it around the fire, then they'll flip it over. And, oh, my goodness, I tell you what, it's amazing. And they did that out of the 4 nights, 5 nights we were there. They did it 3 times. I was in heaven. It was wonderful. And just a beautiful, beautiful area there. And you'll see pictures of Rob and some of the girls horseback riding and so on. Back to Velcom, though, right near Niels and Sandra's home, there's another doctor, Dr. Fred of Niels, and he owns thousands of acres. But instead of raising crops, he just stocked it with wild animals. He's got hippos and rhinos and giraffes and Cape buffalo and every kind of eland and kudu and springbok running around. There's a baby giraffe, 2 weeks old there. Only thing it doesn't have are elephants and lions. You have to make these huge walls around your property for elephants, so the lions are all the livestock, so he just doesn't have lions and elephants there. But everything else, so we got in the car in his Jeep, and he just drove us all over. We'd say, oh, I think I see something over there. We'd go over there, and there would be a herd of something. It was just a great time. He also raises horses. You'll see a horse here that is the junior national champion of South Africa. Beautiful horse. I didn't know a horse could look like this. But just very close by in Kroonstad, just a little distance over from Velcom, there's a lion reserve, and that was great fun. They just had a litter of lion cubs. There were 3 in the litter, 10 days old. They just brought them out for the first time, so you'll see us playing with them. And then some lion cubs that are about 4 or 5 months old. Then some lion cubs that are about 1 year old. Then you can't play with them anymore. It was a great time. And then anyways, from there, Sandra drove us on up to this area, which is up near Pretoria, where we were hosted by John and Marita Hairbottle and their lovely daughter, Janae. And a great couple, great fun. And near Pretoria, about 30 minutes away from their house, there is a Messianic shul, a synagogue. They own their own building. It's an actual Messianic synagogue. And we spoke there for 2 nights. A wonderful group of people. And they have a young rabbi and his parents help oversee the congregation. And so, I don't know, there are probably 75 or 100 people there each night. And then the 3rd night we spent right there at the Hairbottle's home with just a bunch of young people coming in, and a wonderful time of questions and answers and study. Here's our Purim party we had at friends, neighbors of Niels and Sandra. If you remember last year, a young man came and visited from South Africa. He was working in Indiana, and he came for one Shabbat. Some of you remember him. That was Greg. Well, those are Greg's parents there, Ronnie and Lindy Sinclair. And Ron, we call Heffelfinger, because I don't see Uncle Mike here this morning, but I remember Uncle Mike when I was a kid, and they're twins. They were twins. And somehow, they came from the same stock, I'm telling you right now. They walk alike, they talk alike, they look alike, they have the same hair, the same expression, same gestures. And so everybody there calls him Heffelfinger now. And it was a lot of fun. One last picture, then we'll get to the video. This is Niels and Sandra, their daughter Samay, and Robin and me. And this is in the middle of the Great Karoo at the Game Lodge where we spent the night. So that's the route we took through South Africa. A couple other little details. South Africa was founded by the Dutch in the middle 1600s, around 1650, 1652. So Afrikaans is actually almost exactly like the Dutch language. And when folks who speak Afrikaans travel to Belgium or whatever, they can speak the language there and understand what's said. There are 9 official languages in South Africa, English and Afrikaans, which just about everybody speaks. And then there are 7 tribal languages. So 9 in all. And sorry about the cough. Religion. Seems like everybody there started out as Dutch Reform. But then many people make the migration from Dutch Reform to Charismatic. And then from Charismatic to Messianic. And it's just catching on like wildfire there. It's growing by leaps and bounds. And it's an incredible thing to see. There is a fairly large... excuse me. You can thank South Africa for that. I'm so sorry. What was I talking about? Oh, Jewish population. There is a sizable Jewish population in South Africa, but there's no reform. It's all very conservative and orthodox. Some of you enjoy listening to Rabbi Akiva Tatz. He's South African. And so anyways, when you meet Jewish people, they're going to be orthodox. Now, when you see the pictures, it's going to blow away many of your stereotypes about Africa. And I know what you think when you think of Africa. You think of jungle and wild animals. Oh, somebody's bringing me medicine. Oh, great. It's a candy bar. What's it? Oh, okay. I see. There's like lozenges. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate that. All right. Great. All right. I feel better already. So you think of jungles and wild animals and people sitting around a fire eating with their fingers, wearing a loincloth and things like that. South Africa is not like that. South Africa is a very advanced country. In fact, the first heart transplant was performed right in Johannesburg, if you remember. So it's going to destroy... Oh, they're bringing me water? All right. If I have a hamburger on them, I could... So... I think without further ado, we're going to turn off this light that's over my head, and we'll just go right to the video. And I'm going to say goodbye to the people on the podcast and the CD for a moment. Goodbye. That's a good question. So where do they meet? Down in George, the group grew, and they are in 3 groups. Two groups meet in a home, and one rents that. That one picture of me actually teaching, you probably thought I was just on vacation the whole time. But I don't go places and say, everybody take pictures of me so I can show them back home. I just don't do that. But it showed me the one picture of me that was in the building that they rent. So one group rents a building. Then, of course, there is the synagogue in Pretoria that the people, the congregation owns. The rest of them all meet in homes, small groups and in homes all around the place. The hair bottles, that's John in the blue and white stripes. They have a group meet in their home each week. And Niels and Sandra the same. And they just all have their little groups all around. It's really amazing. Yes, Valerie. Oh, let's get a microphone over to Val. By the way, in the Purim party, you saw the 2 girls all in the white. That was Robin's idea. We took the 2 young single girls and had a Queen Esther competition. And so each team of ladies had to decorate their Queen Esther with toilet paper. So what you saw them wearing was rolls of toilet paper. So it was a great fun. Okay, Valerie.
So they get in these little groups at homes, and then does somebody do a teaching, or do they just listen to your teachings? In the bigger fellowships, do they have someone who leads it? What do they do?
They're listening to you ask that question right now. It's one of the things they're doing. they listen to Beth Tikkun teachings, but then they're always listening to other teachings. But it seems like when they're in groups, they listen to the teachings we do here. Yeah. So over here, Brian.
Yeah, I have a mic. Thanks.
Oh, great. Okay, go right ahead, Brian.
Well, Grant, I just want to say to begin with, for all the travel agents in the congregation, today's teaching was just extraordinary. Thank you.
I'm
very
glad
much.
You yeah, enjoy that.
Incredibly beneficial and helpful. My question is regarding the Arab Shabbats. Did they do anything differently that you found kind of surprising or unusual or kind of cool that was just a little bit different than what we might do here?
They do pretty much what we do here. I mean, each group, like each home here on Arab Shabbat, has their own traditions and so on, and theirs are very similar. In fact, I'd say at the farm, they're probably more observant than we are. They do the hand washing and all of that. One of the traditions they have there I really like and is that nobody sits down. Once they come into the room for the meal, no one talks. No one sits down until the blessings are made. And they wash their hands, and then they sit down, and then everybody starts talking. So I think that's pretty neat. So. Yeah, Sharon.
Am I on?
Okay. Yep, you're on.
I'm curious how the Messianic individuals in South Africa, what their stories are compared to us here, in terms of our relationship with our non-Messianic Christian friends, families, old churches, what's happening? Where
the stories are exactly the same.
So there's, they're crazy heretics.
Yes, there'll be a husband who starts following Torah, and the wife's like, what's he getting into? A wife starts, a child starts, and the others all thinking, what are they getting into? Well, you know, Ron called, we call him Heffelfinger. He's got a great story. His wife, Lindy, started meeting with the Versters and, you know, and celebrating Shabbat, keeping Torah. And Ron was, I'm a Methodist. I'll always be a Methodist. I'm not going to do that. Well, he's right in the thick of it. He's a student of Torah and keeps Sabbath, and it's amazing. You know, the stories are the same. The stories are the same. He had to go down fighting. Yeah, that's right. And I see Carla and I see Jim over here with questions. We'll start with Carla and then get a microphone to Jim.
More, but are the various groups aware of each other, and do they interact?
You know what? I think the trip last year made some of the groups aware of the other groups. I kind of picked up that some of them were not aware of each other, but somehow I think I mentioned in a teaching I'd be going to South Africa, and then other people said, oh, you're coming down here, then how do we want to hook up and so on. And so I Beth DeCoon, I think, was somewhat instrumental in the various groups getting to know each other, yeah, which is kind of exciting. I have to tell you a story about England. You know, there's a year before last, we went over to England, met with a couple groups over there. So I'm telling you folks about it when I get back, right? Then I get an email from a lady in England. She says, I heard you were in England. She says, I'm Messianic. I can't find a group. Where's this group you met with? And I told her, it turns out just down the road, almost walking distance. And so now she meets with that group in England. So isn't that funny how the Lord works? It really is. Yes, Jim.
Am I correct in thinking, like, here in the States, our average language is English, but there it's Dutch?
Afrikaans. It's Afrikaans, which is very much like Dutch, very much like Dutch. So they asked me what it sounds like to me to hear them talk. I said, it sounds like they're speaking German with a British accent. It's a beautiful accent they have, but it's very similar to the Dutch language. And Robin may have a fuller answer to that, too.
Not so much to that, but it's hard to put into words just how much person after group would share with us as a group or individually, how for years and years and years they were trying so hard to figure out what life was supposed to look like and how they were to serve God as, you know, believers in South Africa, so right. Much like us. And then they stumbled on Torah, and they all have their own stories. And then they all said, our lives changed. We began to experience abundant life and peace and joy. Yeah. And and reconciliation, and they're so grateful. They're humble, they're hungry, they're just wonderful, wonderful people. And yes, they have the same heart as the people here. And Grant and I were so frustrated, we kept saying, if only you could be with them, but in the kingdom we are all together.
Yes, that's right.
And there is no distance.
That's right.
And a short, well, not so short, airplane ride showed us there is no distance.
There's no distance.
It was just a little taste of the kingdom. Thank you for letting us go and supporting us. It was Amen. It was a delight.
Yes. Thank you, Robin.
Robin, my question's for you. How did the women go bonkers over Proverbs 31?
No, let Robin answer that. Robin taught on her Proverbs 31, which she's been studying for so long and teaching the ladies, but I wasn't in with the women. They wouldn't let me in. So, Robin, go ahead and answer that, please.
And ladies in South Africa, the women at this congregation cannot tell you how blessed Robin has blessed us with these teachings, and it's an onion. We're peeling layer after layer after layer, and we're nowhere finished.
The ladies there were like the ladies here. The women everywhere are so grateful and delighted just to see truth and to know that God has given us everything we need to live the life he's called us to live. Yeah. And it was fun. It was fun. And all the input that all of you gave, the fruit just expanded. So thank you.
Okay. Is that it? I see Kathleen tentatively raising her hand.
Comparing, when you juxtapose their belief system to their culture, what's it look like? Because I know when I walk out of here how different I feel in the larger culture here. How do they look in their larger culture?
Same. Yeah. They're too Jewish for the Christians, too Christian for the Jews. Yeah. Yeah, it is exactly the same. Same misunderstandings about them as people have about us. Same things where they think, oh, you don't believe in Jesus anymore, or you don't believe in the New Testament anymore. They get those same accusations, same misunderstandings. And it's no different. Honestly, it's no different as far as their experience of coming into this awakening of the Torah and of the Hebrew roots of our faith. No different at all. Same experience. Yeah. Anyone else? Okay. Well, then, there's one thing I would have kicked myself all the way home and back if I forgot to do this. I meant to do it at the beginning, and that is to give out a huge, huge, huge thank you to my brother Brian and to Tim Pell and to Pastor Jim Jurgen for filling in the 3 weeks I was gone. I listened to all three teachings. You guys did a marvelous job. And Adam, thank you, wherever you are, for emceeing and making sure things ran smoothly up here and introducing these guys. So thank you, thank you, thank you. It's, yeah. You know, in the early days of Beth Dakoon, I think Rob and I felt like the parents. And it's like you're afraid to leave the kids with somebody else. Ah, I don't feel that way at all. And you're grown up and you have good men, good teachers here. And we didn't even think about you the whole 3 weeks we were gone. Which is a big lie. I'm just kidding. Okay, one more. Jeannie, my mother-in-law, has a question.
I have a question.
Okay, well, something to say. Go ahead.
When you mentioned about thanking people for filling in, I wanted to tell you, Grant, that I told Jim what a wonderful compliment to you that you're able to go away and leave and feel safe about leaving and know that your group of people here are going to be well taken care of.
Yeah. So it is an incredible comfort. You have no idea. It really, it's just, I know you guys are, I just know you're mature, you're grown up. You don't need me anymore. So you're not getting rid of me that easy, but I'll stick around. But it's a great, great congregation. And again, thank you, you three guys for filling in and doing such a superb job. Well, let us close in prayer, and then we'll all go down and have a bite to eat. Our Father and King, thank you so much for this time together. And we thank you for our brothers and sisters in South Africa and around the United States and the world as well, who are just count themselves as part of Beth Tikkun Messianic Fellowship. So, Father, I pray you would just continue to bless us that in a way that we can bless them. And for all those who hosted us and took such a good care of us in South Africa, bless them richly. And I thank you so much for surrounding us with people who are committed to your kingdom and to the King himself, Yeshua, our Messiah, our Lord and Savior. And in his name, we praise you and thank you. Amen.